You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
The Blurred Nerds podcast is sponsored by Sweatpants and Coffee, home of the Real Anxiety Blob. Find them on the web at www.sweatpantsandcoffee.com. You're listening to the Blurred Nerds podcast, part of the ESO Network, brought to you by GVTV and the Geek Ventures.
Welcome to the Blurred Nerd podcast, ladies and gentlemen. This is Little Bit.
And this is the Geek Father.
And the noise you're hearing is my AC because we're at a like 107 degrees.
Yes.
And I can't.
South Texas is under an excessive heat warning. Excessive heat.
If I turn the AC off, it's going to shoot up to 100 degrees in this room.
Yeah. My AC is great, but it's very loud. So it's just like, and my podcast setup is like right next to my AC unit. So I have to turn it off. I have like really no choice. Luckily, my apartment doesn't hit direct sunlight, but it's still, yesterday I had the thing. And I'm more prone to temperature extremes now because of dialysis. I'm just being chronically ill. So my AC is set higher. So it's like 84, 85, but it's still relatively cool in here. I looked at my thing yesterday and it said 88. And I was like, but I have it set at 85. I mean, it's just so hot outside that my AC was like, look, bro, 88 is the best we can do. It's too fucking hot.
Well, my mic is pointed right at my window unit.
Oh, God.
My office chair is blocking the window unit. Hmm. And that's why it would get hot really quick here if I was to turn it off. And I can't turn it off. I'm sorry for the extra noise this episode.
We'll be fine. We'll get over it. I do remember the olden days when we first started doing this and we were in your sewing room in your house.
No, my office.
Oh, was it your office? Yeah. And it would be like, we're like, it's July. And we're like, okay, let's get this done quick because it's going to get hot. And two people in that small room, we were sweating balls.
Yeah, when it's still the same room. But back then, it was not as hot as it is right now.
Yeah.
Like, who knew? Yeah, I think we've said this before, but, you know, everyone jokes around about how older people talk about the weather. Well, you know, when it's like this, it's impossible to not talk about
the weather.
Yeah. Let's just put it away. For those who don't live in Texas, that, like, I know everywhere is dealing with a heat wave, but we're not supposed to be in the hundreds for two more months. And we are now going on our second week straight.
Yeah, it used to be, August, you're expecting the late summer 100 degree temperatures. And it was like Memorial Day. It's like, nope, go fuck yourself. Triple digits.
So don't get me wrong. At 95, or 98, which is usually where we're at right now, I'm still fucking hot. I'm still miserable.
Anything above like 90, you're just like, all right, it's starting to get warm.
No, for me, it's 84.
Oh, 84.
Yeah. Let's just put it that when we're finally staying in the new house.
You're cranking that shit.
Oh, it's good. I keep it at 68.
I don't know if I could survive at 68.
When I used to have central AC, yeah, it was like 68. I used to be that woman, who was like always cold or always hot. And my roommates would come home and I'd gotten cold and I had it set at 80 and they'd be mad at me. Because it was so warm, but I want to be cold all the time now. I just want to be, I mean, not like 30 degree cold, but I've lived with window units for a decade now and I'm ready to just be cold.
You're ready to join the central AC life.
Yeah, it's been long enough.
I get it.
I mean, it's still going to be a bear trying to figure out how to cool the second floor, but at least I can run around downstairs and be like, it's cold!
Whee! Oh, gosh. That's good stuff.
So, do you want to start out this week's episode talking about the movie you want to see?
Sure. Okay. Why not? Me and my new movie buddies, our guest on our last episode, Laura Evans. We went to see Jurassic World Dominion on Thursday night. And it was just basically about what I expected. You know, the Jurassic World movies weren't like breaking any new ground as far as script wise or anything. I mean, it was dumb and contrived, but there were dinosaurs and people got eaten. So, I mean, my goals were met. It just, because this is the first movie where they had the whole of the casts together, like the OG, you know, originals, you know, Elliot's, you know, Dr. Sattler and Dr. Grant and you know, Goldblum, whatever. So they had them all together. And then, of course, they have like the new guy, Chris Pratt, and I'm not remembering characters' names, but you know what I'm talking about. So, you know, they get them all together. And the way they get them all to like be at the same spot at the same time, it's a little contrived and kind of goofy. But I mean, it's full on cheese. But I mean, what do you expect? You're not going to watch, you know, Oscar winning cinema. You're going to see dinosaurs and CGI effects. So, I mean, it was fine.
And B.D. Wong, you know.
And B.D. Wong, again. I don't know how he keeps surviving, you know. And it had a lot of callbacks to the other movies. Like there were some scenes and setups where, you know, they paid homage to like the original. What's Goldblum's character? I forget his name.
Yeah.
Where, you know, the whole iconic scene where he's laying down, he's got his shirt open and then, you know, his, you know, sweaty chest is all out for one to see. They kind of make fun, spoof that a little bit. There's just a lot of visual throwbacks to the original movie and to the previous ones. And I mean, it was fun. It had a few laughs in it. Oh no, it was all right. I'm sure it'll make like a lot of money and get critically panned.
Was the theater packed?
We went to a Regal Cinemas. It wasn't like, you know, Marvel movie packed or anything like that, but it had a solid crowd for a Thursday. So I'm sure it'll do fairly good business. I mean, I don't really have much else to say about it. You know, what can you say about a dinosaur movie? But they had really cool dinosaurs and they did dinosaur stuff. Plus, you know, there was some rodeo wrangling of a dinosaur, which was kind of funny. The guy, Chris Pratt's character was chasing down like a dinosaur and he roped it like he was, you know, lassoing a calf. And I'm like, okay, this dinosaur weighs I don't know how many tons, and he's chasing it down with a horse and he's got this lasso. He's expecting this horse and him, who don't weigh as much as this dinosaur combined, to stop this thing. It didn't make any kind of physics sense, but it looked good on camera, I guess. That's the important thing.
Well, so far, it is expected to top 142.6 million this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to do fine. I'm sure it'll make close to a billion or whatever they want it to. You know, as far as it being the, you know, finale of the Jurassic franchise, I mean, I guess
go out with a bang or a whimper?
Yeah, it kind of felt like the ending of the previous one, where it's like, I made a comment to Laura, because at the end, you know, everything happens, of course, you know how it goes. They go to a park or a facility, everything's under control. Oops, one thing happens, it's anarchy, and then all the dinosaurs get out, and then the park burns down. You know, it's the same formula they've been using the past two movies. You know, dinosaurs get loose, people get eaten, park gets destroyed, things get burned down. And I commented to her, I was like, oh, look, it's like the third park they burned down. What's going on here? It just felt similar and it was the same formula. It didn't break any new ground. It felt, I guess, final enough, but I mean, not so final that they couldn't, if this one made a lot of money, be like, hey, well, you know what? We said this was the last one. We were kidding. Here's another one. You know how it is in Hollywood. If it makes enough money, they'll find a reason to do another one. So it was fine. It worked as the end. You know, everyone came out, the heroes, rode off or flew off into the sunset, you know, triumphant kind of deal.
So is it a wait for home, go pay to see it in the theater?
Well, if you must see it in the theater, I go to the matinee. I mean, I wouldn't throw full price money at this. Me personally, if I hadn't gone to Laura or whatever, I would have just waited to see it streaming. So it's not terrible. It's not a terrible movie. It's fine. It's just your average popcorn eating candy summer blockbuster flick that, you know, it's enjoyable, but it's not going to be like, you're not going to be talking about it like weeks later, like Top Gun, like this movie's fucking dope as shit. It's not that.
See, I'm waiting to watch it at home.
Yeah.
Because it'll at some point hit Paramount.
Oh, yeah. Top Gun.
Peacock.
Yeah. Well, Top Gun Maverick will also hit Paramount probably in the next few weeks.
Because I'm pretty sure my next movie in the theater is going to be Thor, because tickets go on sale Monday.
Yeah. Actually, my next movie I've probably seen in the theater is Buzz Lightyear.
Really?
Yeah, it's coming out with June 17th. It looks really good. I really want to see it. They showed the trailer for it, and me and Laura were talking about it. Like, it feels like Buzz Lightyear, this movie, it's like it's the movie that Andy saw that made him want to go get a Buzz Lightyear toy. Like, it's the movie they made, and from that movie they made like the action, you know how they always make action figures.
Yeah.
You know, merchandising sales. Basically, the Buzz Lightyear toy that's in Toy Story was the Buzz Lightyear toy they made from that movie. So I'm interested to see how they're going to interpret, you know, switch it around and turn Buzz Lightyear into an actual, like, I don't know how Pixar is going to do it, but I'm fascinated. I want to see it. Plus, I love Pixar. So, but yeah, I want to see Thor also. Hey, man, it's 2022. It's just packed with the movies, isn't it?
Well, and I'm playing TV shows too.
Oh my goodness! Right,
as much as we gripped a few months ago about cancellations, you know, all of a sudden now it's like, oh, this has started. Oh, this is about to start.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about shows that have like started and
well, Obi-Wan and shit. You're obviously excited.
There's a lot of, you know, we've had some guests in the past few episodes, and we just hadn't been able to catch up on, you know, TV shows and things like that. So,
well, let's first broach the one cancellation that we've had. What's it called? The HBO show, Raised by Wolves.
Oh, yeah. Raised by the HBO Max original.
Has canceled Raised by Wolves after season two. I had seen the announcement, and you messaged to me the next day. And I was like, yeah, I saw it. Like, I stopped watching after like three episodes. It was
they say critically acclaimed, show by Ridley Scott, and it was very weird and strange, 100%.
Okay, weird and strange is a good thing. Like,
I didn't say it like it was bad, but I said it was weird and strange.
Because we watched Devs and were mad that show didn't get more, you know, and that show was fucking weird.
Yeah, that show just kind of fucked with your mind, like made you think like deep existential shit. You're just like, wow. And it was like, you know, very science and fucking quantum mechanics kind of shit.
And new.
It was original. Yeah. Raised by Wolves, it was
slow. It was
very slow. It just built to this, I don't know. There was a whole religious contingent, like, atheists fighting against super religious people, destroyed Earth, go to a new planet, and they start the whole thing over again there. But then there's androids, and then there's an alien worm thing. And, you know, I watched the first season and I was like, okay, I guess. And then I got like an episode or two in the second season, and I'm like, you know what? I got much better things to watch than this, and it's not doing it for me anymore. So I stopped watching.
Yeah.
And I was going to catch up, but then they're like, we canceled it. I'm like, never mind. Not going to put effort into a show that's not coming back. So, I mean, sorry, Ridley Scott. It was an interesting concept, but I guess it was just too slow and just too out there for people.
Well, oddly, it might have been one of the instances where it would have made a better movie.
It probably would have.
Because, you know, you would assume the pace would pick up instead of just stretching it out.
Yeah. Could have been another pandemic casualty, maybe. You know, a lot of shows affected by the pandemic and had to delay shooting for their seasons. And then, of course, their contracts or their actors and people ran out and they didn't want to pay to re-up folks if they weren't working. So they just kind of...
No, I don't know. I mean, to bring in Westworld back, and that show is expensive as fuck. So...
Yeah, that's Westworld. That's already got an established fan base and it's already like...
Well, I'm just saying, if people had watched it...
If they'd watched Raised by Wolves, sure, it would have canceled.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
So that's what I mean by I don't know if it's necessarily a pandemic
audience was just too small, and I don't think it was for the cost of the show. It wasn't bringing in the eyeballs that it needed to.
We haven't had Westworld in 2 years.
Oh, my God. I'm going to have to do a seriously fat recap. You know, catch up and watch a few episodes because I don't remember a fucking thing about what's going on in that show.
I don't think it's going to matter. Like, you know, just based on the trailer and the new... It looks like it's a complete reset.
Like, it's...
Well, Rachel Evan Wood is playing... Well, so they're saying that she is playing a completely different character. But, you know...
So she's a completely different android?
They're not saying if she's an android. She's just a new character.
Good grief. Okay.
So, but
you know, don't do a season two on us and just
they're not going to give away, you know, important
obviously
points.
Sure.
So it could be a look over there type thing.
Oh yeah, right. It's a misdirect. Gotcha, suckers. Well, it'd be interesting, but when is that premiere? That's not till
I think July or August, or maybe it's the end of this month.
Who knows.
But let's talk about shows currently, Eric.
All right. So which show do you want to start with?
Well, which one have you been most excited about?
Well, obviously, if anyone knows me at all, I'm most excited about.
Sorry, Westworld, June 26th.
All right. Well, not that far from now. Well, if anyone knows me, the one I am most excited about is Obi-Wan Kenobi. Because it's so far been fantastic. I think Deborah Chow is fantastic.
But of course, it's getting review bombed.
Well, yeah, because I don't know why there are people out there who are hating on little baby Leia. She's adorable. And the actress is just precocious and she's a fantastic actress. And I don't know why people are hating on a child. It's stupid.
Especially comparatively, because there's a lot, you know, there's many instances where child actors, the characters are playing are just annoying, or the kid is just not equipped to be able to handle the role that has been given to him. That is not the circumstance here. Like
Vivian Lyra Blair is her name, and she, I think she's pretty seasoned for an actress of her age. She was in Bird Box a few years ago, and she is... The way they're writing Leia, first off, is very fantastic.
Yeah, it's very obvious to see that this child grows up.
He's going to grow up to be General Leia, the leader of the rebellion and holding the glue that holds the whole thing together.
And you then know, and then names her kid Ben.
Right. Oh, that's so adorable. You know, because they've established here that, you know, because, you know, you watch the original trilogy and you watch like New Hope and you see Leia tries to recruit Obi-Wan Kenobi, you know, and you're thinking, oh, her dad and Obi-Wan had a relationship, obviously. But then you see like this, their interaction in this show, and you see that there's much closer connection between the two and it's kind of expanding on the connective tissue, you know, it's strengthening that connective tissue between the two. And it's just adorable, you know, plus she's sassy. And she's energetic, and it's funny seeing Obi-Wan, this grown-ass fucking almost 50-year-old man,
get bossed
around, exasperated, and get bossed around by a 10-year-old girl, and she's like taking charge of situations, and like the whole thing where they were trying to escape, you know, and they were on the back of this truck, and you know, they're like, oh, we're farmers from Tall, we're just on vacation, and you know, Stormtroopers start trying to grill Obi-Wan, and he's like, and she just starts speaking and taking control, and he's like, oh, all right, like, you go, Leia. I think the show's great. I think it's really giving us the kind of depth Obi-Wan that we needed, you know, because you knew obviously after the fall of the Jedi and they went, him and Yoda went to exile, you always wondered, well, what happened in those years between, you know, Revenge of the Sith and A New Hope? They got turned him into a beat up old grizzled old man. And, you know, now you're seeing how that happened. And it's like, well, he's had a few run-ins with Darth Vader. And, oh, my God, I cannot say enough great things about how they have. I loved Darth Vader before. Like, he was just one of the greatest movie villains of all time. But this show, just what we've seen so far, has made him even better. Like, he's even more menacing and cold and villainous, and just, he's got that villain swagger. It's just so fucking awesome. I was just so pumped. Episode 3, if y'all haven't seen it, it was like my favorite by far, because Darth Vader,
he's more villainous than
you've ever seen. Like, he's, and
except credit, for me, that ending shot of Rogue One.
Yeah, that's kind of where it started. The Rogue One, that was the start of the Darth Vader, the new Darth Vader. That we're going to show you just how badass this motherfucker is and how feared he is in the galaxy. You're going to see it. Like, it was the same thing they did with Yoda in Attack of the Clones, kind of. You always heard about how great Yoda was. You always heard about how great this character is. But now we're going to show you. And they're doing the same thing with Darth Vader. And in this show, they've even gone further. And credit to Disney for kind of pushing the boundaries in the show, because I didn't think they would do some of the things they've done. It's very dark.
Yeah.
And they've like, they showed a scene where a stormtrooper gets sliced in literal in half by like a laser fence. And I was just like, oh shit. I didn't think Disney would show that. You know, they've got Darth Vader just walking down this main street, just strutting, just swaggering. His armor, just the whole nine yards, pulling people out in the street with force choking him, broke a kid's neck. Like, he was just doing it to try to drag Obi-Wan out, because he's like, you know what? He's going to see these people suffering and he can't help himself. He's going to want to do something about it. And I just was like, fuck, yes. I mean, people are dying and that's terrible, but I was, you know, you're like, Darth Vader is being Darth Vader, and it's everything I wanted. It's everything I hoped for, and I'm here for it. And he was ready to torture the shit out of Obi-Wan.
I have to say, I'm also enjoying the continuation of moving Game of Thrones actors over to Star Wars. Indira Varma as Tala.
Oh, yes. She's fantastic.
Yeah.
She just, the way she was just kind of talked her way, she just pulled fucking rabbits out of her ass, talking her way through all those situations to get them. And they just, episode 4 was kind of, I liked episode 4 because it showed a little bit more of the Fortress Inquisitorius and the whole Jedi tomb. Oh my God, that was, I think one of the Jedis they showed was one of the ones from the Clone Wars.
Yeah, it was an Easter egg, if you will.
Yeah. I can't remember his name, though.
I just think it's cool, you know, that bringing Indira over, because, you know, her and Pablo, who plays the Mandalorian.
Pedro Pascal.
Pedro, there you go. They were brother and sister, the Martells, not the Martells, she was part of the Sand Sisters or whatever.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
The one whose head got squished by the mountain.
The mountain, yeah.
Yeah,
I just like, I mean, I like little sci-fi fantasy nods like that, or it's like, oh, they were a brother and sister here, or now we're he's going to play this character and she's going to play this one in Star yeah. Wars. And
the Jedi, that the one was Tara Sanube. He was like a Jedi. He had like a walking stick that was, you know, doubled as his lightsaber. And he trained a lot of Jedi younglings. He was a Kozian Jedi master. Damn. So yeah, he appeared in the Clone Wars. It was like a little Easter egg. And then the scene where they showed the little youngling, because these people are all like ambered. They're all like, I guess, encased in amber. And they show him and he's still got his helmet on. And it's just like, oh, it was like a gut punch, you know? And you see Obi-Wan just like realizing the depth of the whole, like they are hunting everyone down to the last man. And I don't know why people were giving such shit to the third sister.
Yes.
What's the character's name? I can't remember anybody's name anymore. What is it? Who does she play? I'm gonna look it up.
Well, her name is isn't her name Moses?
Moses Ingram is Moses Ingram is the actress. And she's been getting a lot of bullshit hatred from the fucking neckbeard racist Star Wars fans. Some bullshit, but people are giving her crap because they're like, oh, this character is Reva. That's it. They're like, this character, I don't like her, blah, 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 blah. I think in episode 4, she established, man.
Well, I don't see how people could not like, she's a perfect villain.
She is. She's a great villain. And I'm like, I was like, I'm going to wait until, you know, this is only a few episodes in. I'm going to wait till I make judgment on her. And episode 4, I was like, yeah, she is cold. And I would love to see, and you know, them only having 6 episodes, I'm sure there's not enough time to do this, but I would love to have, I want to see, because obviously she was a Jedi youngling. And, you know, she was probably the beginning of episode 1 where they showed the younglings like trying to escape the temple during Order 66. Pretty sure she was one of those younglings. I would like to see what happened, you know, in the intervening years that had turned her from a hopeful youngling to a, you know, a cold, like dark side, you know, acolyte who wants to fucking take power and ready to torture a child. You know, how do you get there? That's why my question.
Well, then obviously being swayed by Darth Vader.
Yeah, I see you. More machine than man could choke me out in a second. And what do I do? Probably what he says.
Well, and she wants, I mean, she obviously wants his approval.
She wants his approval and she wants to be the Grand Inquisitor. So yeah, I mean, you know, only, you know, every apprentice wants to turn into the master eventually. I'm assuming that the Darth Vader and Obi-Wan still are going to have a, you know, major showdown, which I don't know how they're going to handle, because it's going to have to be something where Darth Vader will then not try to chase down Obi-Wan for another 9 years. You know, he won't go after him. So it's going to have to be something where Obi-Wan like fucks him up again, which would be hilarious.
And we're going to have to get to it quick with only 2 episodes left.
Yeah, it's absolutely. So like, you're on the clock, Disney. Let's see what's up. Yeah, but so far, like, they're doing great.
Yeah. With the people who, you know, complaining, or, and some of them aren't even watching it. It's just like, at this point, I'm like, what do you want Star Wars to be?
Yeah. Because
you're now just complaining about everything.
Yeah. Well, it's the same folks who are like, you know, Force Awakens was just Star Wars 2.0. It's a New Hope repeated. Okay, fine. Well, here's Last Jedi. It's different. No, that's not the different we wanted. Okay, we'll go back. We'll go back and we'll give you Rise of Skywalker. But no, that's not, you know, it's just, it's like a kid not knowing what he wants to eat, you know. And it's like, well, here's chicken nuggets. Well, I don't want chicken nuggets. Well, what do you want? I don't know. You know, it's like, fuck, make up your mind.
Well, also, like, you know, people hated the prequels when they came out, but unnecessarily gave the actors shit. And now, yeah.
Time and distance from the original, you know, kind of time and distance seems to help. Like, and now people don't hate on them as fiercely as, you know, when they first came out.
Yeah,
even I've softened my stance.
Like, is it nostalgia or
It might be, I think, filling in the blanks, filling in the plot holes and the things that George Lucas obviously missed covering in those prequels, that these shows, you know, and novels and things that have happened in the intervening years have filled in, that have kind of enriched and deepened the characters and given you backstory and context on their actions and their, you know, frame of mind, shit like that, which, you know, that's what always helps me, is backstory and, you know, depth of character and, you know, give them complexities, richness and all that shit, you know, good writing, which I wouldn't accuse George Lucas of doing. But yeah, oh, speaking of review bombing, Miss Marvel, have you started watching that?
Wait, we should save that for after the break.
All right.
So we will be right back.
Winter is coming. Prepare with a fine cigar and listen to the Cigar Nerds podcast. We smoke cigars and talk about movies and all kind of nerdy things. Available at cigarnerdpodcast.com. Also on the ESO Network at esonetwork.com.
Sponsored by Sweatpants and Coffee, the blanket fort of the internet where comfort rules. Look for their anxiety blog, Comfort and Encouragement Journal, available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. Find them on the web at www.sweatpantsandcoffee.com.
And we're back, folks. Yes, speaking of review bombing, because apparently we just, you know, people aren't used to having a show led by a female actress.
Apparently can't be down with the brown.
Or women.
Which and brown in this women.
Is ridiculous because she is a fucking preteen.
Yeah.
Like, what is wrong with your life that you have to send hate to a child?
Yeah. And, you know, traditionally, the comic book sphere has been dominated by white males, and the characters that are made are, you know, cater to white males. They're the majority audience and, you know, purveyors of comic book shit and all that stuff. Well, you know, obviously in recent years, you know, more creators and people who are, you know, have the, I guess, the power to make changes have created new characters and, you know, that appeal to a more broader range of fans like myself, like you, you know, just minorities, women in general. And, you know, they like, you know, Miles Morales, he's a, you know, black Spider-Man, he's black Mexican-American Spider-Man. And now you've got Ms. Marvel, Kamala Khan, she's a Pakistani-American superhero, and her, you know, her freaking hero is Captain Marvel. And, you know, her show premiered, what was it?
Last week.
Was it Wednesday last week?
Yeah.
And I thought it was cute. I thought it was really awesome. I liked how they showed a lot of visual references, how they used the background to show a lot of visual cues and a little Easter eggs, and how it was cute how she went to Avengers Con. I was like, of course they're going to have an Avengers Comic Con, you know, where they celebrate the Avengers and how they saved Earth for like the millionth time or whatever. And it just was, it was a great seeing how they, you know, portrayed her and, you know, her family, that it was like, you know, they spoke Urdu at home, and
right, her parents, and to me, like, the world felt it feels lived in.
Yeah, it felt like legit. Like, yeah, she's a quirky, nerdy kid who, you know, has a YouTube channel where she talks about the Avengers all the time. And I'm like, of course she does. Of course. She's a modern Gen Z kid. That's going to happen. And she's got a friend who's a technical wizard. And I'm like, it felt good to me. And it felt like it belonged in the, as much as Moon Knight tried to separate itself from the MCU and be like, oh, this has no connection, this feels like it's going to have, it's wired in, because obviously she's going to eventually end up becoming part of the Avengers. So, I mean, they have to have the Avengers connection. And there's even rumors that Haley Steinfeld is supposed to have a cameo. She's going to pop up in the show. But review bombing it, it's just dumb. Like, it had a fraction of the reviews other MCU shows have had, and it's got like more negative reviews percentage wise than those other shows. It's stupid.
When I was like, it's adults leaving the reviews. And like, after I finished watching the first episode, I'm like, you know what? This isn't made for the Marvel adult fan.
Yeah. And it's really not made for it's not made for like the stuffy, like people are like, but I don't like it. Just they're hating it. It's like, well, it wasn't made for you. I mean, you can't have everything be for you.
I mean, it's not made to shun adults.
No, it's not.
It's not. I wouldn't say that's like your typical Disney Channel preteen show. Yeah. But it's not geared for a younger audience.
Yeah, it's not made excluding. That's how they always think. It's always made and to exclude them. It's not made to exclude them. It's made to include everyone else.
But I saw somebody share a few days ago that like somebody has started a Facebook group to protest the show. And one of the main comments was, I can't believe they're replacing Captain Marvel with this character. See, and it's just like, okay, you are not a fucking fan because they're two different fucking characters. One is like Captain Marvel, one is Miss Marvel.
Miss Marvel, yeah.
They both, it's the same as their, hey, guess what? Marvel Girl is a completely different fucking character too. They just all have Marvel in their name. It doesn't mean that one of them is replacing another.
People are dumb. They don't take time to look at things.
That just
see a headline and they just immediately go right to outrage. You read the article?
No, well, you're not even watching the show. Like, how many Marvel properties have you watched?
Right. They just see what? She's a Pakistani Muslim South Asian superhero. Ah, blah, blah, blah. Pakistan, Muslim, blah, 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 blah. She's a brown person. Blah, blah. And it's just like, really? Are you full of that much hatred that it's just like, what is this doing to you? How is this affecting your life? Is it hurting you?
I don't remember this shit happening with Black Panther. Now, granted, that character is bigger, you know, the comic book could be around Black a lot Panther longer.
Black Panther could come kick their ass as well.
Hey, so could Miss Marvel.
She could. She could whoop your ass. She could embiggen and punch you in the face.
But
yeah, I like the show. I think it's cute.
It's cute. It's not for the audience that it's targeted at. Like, yeah, it's well done. And believe me, I have seen some of the other Disney teen superhero shows, and this is miles better.
Yeah,
because it's not talking down to the age that it's geared at.
Right, it's not pandering to like, oh, it's preteen. We're gonna do a lot of, you know, the standard young adult preteen kind of
PG
kind of goofy shit that they always do.
Yeah,
we're not gonna CW this shit. You know, we're going to assume our audience is adult and intelligent enough to understand, you know, where we're going with this. And I like it so far. I think it's doing a good job.
Yeah, it's a good addition, I think.
Yeah. And of course, don't forget that another show started. It's season 3, For All Mankind on Apple TV.
Oh, it started?
Yes, okay. It started Friday.
Oh, okay. So I'm only one day behind.
Right.
All right. We are now getting to the point where there's too many fucking shows.
Exactly is what we talked about, where it's just like, man, you know, all the fall shows had their season finales, and I'm like, no, all the shows are over. What am I gonna watch? Oh, wait a minute. You know, you got all these shows on now, upcoming. You're like, whoa.
Yeah, we got Strange New Worlds, which I'm still like digging more and more with every episode.
I love that one.
I now feel like
I think it is the best Trek show. On.
It feels like Anson Mount has always been a part of Trek. Like, his character is so just, lived in.
He's just like rolled right into Pike, and he's just he coiffed that hair, and he is just swaggering his way through
this past week's episode. With the smirks he was given, when the woman from that planet showed up, I was just like, oh my god.
Yeah, I honestly think The Strange New Worlds is the best Trek show right now. It's already, I love it. I love the, you know, each episode, each week is going to be a different scenario, a different situation that the Enterprise and the crew has been thrust into, and they've got to kind of MacGyver their way out of shit. I mean, it's like, it's the original series kind of situation, and it's great. And I love seeing it. And I think they've done Ethan Peck is doing a fantastic job as young Spock.
I mean, I'm enjoying every single actor they have cast.
Yeah, they,
especially like, perfect. I was like, I am so happy to see Rebecca Romijn Samus back. Yeah. Not Rebecca Romijn, I guess, not Rebecca Romijn.
She's married to Jerry O'Connell now.
Yeah, it's not
just Rebecca Romijn.
Yeah, Rebecca Romijn, yeah. I was like, I think she dropped the hyphen.
Yeah, she dropped the hyphen, but she dropped John Stamos. She dropped like a 180-pound hyphen.
Yeah, she's.
Yeah, it's great, you know. Yeah. I was worried that like, oh, they're gonna bring in Uhura and Spock, and you got, you know, instant Uhura, and she's, you know, the way that the actress is characterized her and like they've written her, you're just like, I could see her on the track to becoming the fucking badass, you know, communications officer Uhura that we know and love, you know. And you know, the new characters they've brought in, they're very interesting, and they're just, you know, you've got La'an Noonien Singh, and you're like, okay, she's got the Khan connection. And at first I was thinking, you know, she's not aware of it, but then, you know, there was a recent episode where she talked about it, and that, you know, the history of, you know, Khan tried to take over the world, and he left Earth, and his Botany Bay ship is out there somewhere, and you know, she's trying to live down that stain on her family's name. And, you know, she finds out that, you know, Una Riley, number one, is, you know, freaking genetically enhanced. And they had to work that shit out. I think it's just scenarios and story and the writing and the effects. It's all they're putting their best effort into the show. And it's paying off.
Yeah, well, I even like how they're fleshing out Nurse Chapel more. You know?
Yeah, and Dr. Mbenga, you know, characters that just kind of got just a little dusting in the original series. Like, you're aware of them, but they just never got the kind of care and attention that, you know, the main characters got, and they're really just kind of making these characters three-dimensional.
Well, they're making a real ensemble.
Yeah.
Piece.
And the whole Dr. Mbenga and trying to find a cure for his daughter. Got a terminal illness. He's got her stored in the, you know, pattern buffer of the transporter. Oh, I'm just like tugging at my heartstrings every time. It's very well done so far. I think each episode's getting better.
Yeah.
So curious to see where it's going.
Yeah, I mean, to me, there hasn't been a dud yet.
There hasn't been, because I mean, it's,
which is rare for a show's first season, I think.
Yeah, it's a different.
How I watch, I just jinxed it.
You're like, the next episode is gonna be shit. You're gonna be like, I talked about it too soon. I gave it too much praise too fast.
And we're also we are now into the season three of The Boys.
Oh my god, which is just
wild every episode. And
they have
officially renewed it for season four.
I didn't think they could up the absurdity, the bonkers gore and guts, but episode one gives a blowjob a whole new meaning.
A whole new meaning. This past week's episode gives sex toys a whole new meaning.
Oh, deadly dildos.
I
didn't think you could use a dildo as a projectile.
I'm like, God, you can imagine the force you got to stab somebody with.
Yeah,
so a blunt object.
Yeah, a blunt, you know, fairly flexible object. You punch through somebody's face and into their chest. And of course, you know, the whole big reveal of you know, Jensen Ackles as Soldier Boy.
Every time we have seen him in a flashback, it's just so perfectly cheesy.
Yeah, you're just like, man, I can't wait to see him be a complete, absolute, utter douche.
And then,
you know,
they've released the whole scene of him singing on Solid Gold.
That was great. And the funny thing is, he did a podcast with Michael Rosenbaum, and he talked about shooting for the boys, and he's like, yeah, I've been getting in really great shape, and I'm in show. He ripped, and he goes to the set, and they were like, well, why'd you work out so hard? And he's like, well, I want to be ready for it. And they're like, we put muscles in the suit. You didn't have to get all buff, you know. Anthony Starr isn't like killing himself working out, you know. The muscles are in the suit.
Yeah, it's like, it's not Marvel.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, yeah, okay, well, anyway. But yeah, I can't wait to see him be just this, the antithesis of Winchester, just being evil and bad and terrible and just lecherous and all the terrible qualities that all these superheroes of the boys universe get stuck with, kind of. They all seem to exhibit the same horrible, human personality quirks. And I can't wait to see it. It's going to be awesome. And then now they've introduced Temporary V.
V24.
Yeah. And, can we talk about Homelander? And just, he's gone next level evil. Like, he was bad. You knew he was bad before. But now he's like, it's almost like there's no one in his way. And the way Anthony Starr is playing it, it's just, he's talking to people and you never know. He could either rip out their spine or, pat them on the back and be like, good job. But there's always the sinister, menacing, like, I could kill you anytime I want to kind of situation going on.
Well, like with this past week scene when he, shows up and is like, oh, you're going to make my head explode.
Yeah, he's like, go ahead and try to pop my melon. Give it a whirl. Like, you're like,
And Cam's like, well, can't she? Like,
that's my question.
If he's he's invincible, but does that mean his head can't explode?
Yeah.
Does her power
not work against him? Or
maybe it just means, like, the same way that Kimiko, can heal, like, when we see her shot, that maybe head reconstitutes itself? Or
I don't know. That is a good question. We are raising good sci-fi questions. Like,
has she tried to pop
his
head?
How invincible is he? Like, if she tries to do it, is he just so, invulnerable that
he just feels a tickle inside his ear?
Yeah, his head, like, oh, that itches, Like, his head just doesn't come apart because it's just, like, built invincible, or I don't know. I would love to find out. I hope they go that route. And I'm thinking, I don't know. I just know that Soldier Boy and Homelander are probably coming towards a showdown, because the weapon that they're searching for is obviously something to do with Soldier Boy somehow.
But also, like, we don't have the fail save that we had in the comics of
nobody's got a bomb attached in their necks,
we don't in the comics,
Black Noir.
That's
one of the deviations from the comics. It's safe to say that in the comic, Black Noir was just a clone of Homelander, and he kind of was like, in case the original recipe Homelander goes crazy, we've got a spare. And they get into a fight, and the Black Noir like rips Homelander to pieces. So in the show, he's a completely different person. So he took whatever it was that fucked up Black Noir and turned him into like a simpleton, a silent simpleton with a brain damage and shit. He took that blast to the face. I'm thinking, was it Soldier Boy, or did it have something to do with that? What did the Russians do to him? I have questions, and I want to know them right now, the answers. And I hate having to wait a week. It's terrible. Wednesday, okay, it's Obi-Wan. It's episode 5. And then it's like, okay, Miss Marvel episode 2. And
yeah,
then it's
I'm just glad that, Netflix is sticking with releasing all of Stranger Things.
Oh, yeah. July 1st. The final two episodes. The final two episodes of the season.
We spent 2 days to binge through the first 6.
Yeah. And it started slow.
I would have hated waiting.
Oh, yeah. And it started slow. And then by the end, you were like, whoa. Fuck. Okay. Twist. I didn't see that coming, which I liked. I love when I don't see the twist coming.
I am absolutely ecstatic that to see, you know, Kate Bush being, you know, part of my
getting the love
teenage years, you know, of listening to The Cure and Depeche Mode and Kate Bush.
I saw like a meme where somebody was like, Kate Bush, you know, running up that hill, you know, it's new, popular again. Top Gun is the number one movie in theaters. It's like, what is it, 1986 all over again?
I saw the meme where they have the Michael J. Fox scene from Back to the Future where he was playing the rock and roll music, but you know, and he's like, oh, you might be not ready for this yet, but your kids are gonna love it.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And they put Kate Bush's head on his body.
I love when they do that, where, you know, shows will use, you know, music from, you know, back in our day, or, you know, and the kids that are watching it now are like, oh, that's
dope. It makes sense for Stranger Things because it's set
obviously
movies, but yeah.
But it brings new life to stuff where we're like, well, yeah, we love that when it was original, when it was new. You guys are just jumping on the bandwagon.
I don't see it as jumping on the bandwagon. I see it as, you know, because it was...
Seeing a great artist get...
Well, no, because it was... Alternative is the wrong word, because we didn't have that term yet. It was...
It was different.
What the fuck new. Movie? It's not... New wave. And yeah, you know, and it wasn't... That was our subculture. It was
back
subculture.
In the day, it was the music that the kids who didn't fit in listened to.
And you weren't hearing it on top 40 radio. It was not making the countdown. It was what you were seeing on 120 minutes after fucking midnight
it
on
was
Sunday
the stuff,
night on
ABC. Yeah, it was the stuff you saw in 120 minutes, and then you're like, oh, that's dope. And you went to, like, you know, Sam Goody's or whatever record store it was, and you had to, like, search deep for the, you know, the album that song was on.
You also had to hope that the record store near you was going to get it.
Right. Because it was always like from an artist that they didn't, the artist doesn't sell enough for us to carry them, or, it's a B-side or something. Yeah, those were the days. Searching for the album or the CD from the song, for that one song from that band you liked that no one else seems to like.
At one point, we were still buying cassettes and having to fast forward to get to the song we bought the album for.
Hope that
we don't break the tape.
Yeah. Having to buy a whole cassette or album or record for the one song. Those days have seemed to be gone.
I mean, we did get cassette singles.
Oh, obviously. But, you know, now these kids and their Spotify and their iTunes just picking and choosing what songs they want. Get off my lawn.
I have to say, I wish we had something like Shazam back then, because, man, the ability to, like, when I'm watching a movie or a TV show or even a commercial now, where something fucking plays and I'm like, oh my god, that's awesome, or it's a song I haven't heard in 20 years and I don't remember who it is, the ability to press a fucking button and be able to find that motherfucker.
It helps, yeah. It helps our Gen X adult brains figure out, like, I don't remember that song, but I remember that song, you know.
That's a song from like 80 years ago, but I've never heard it. Who the fuck is that?
I heard that. I remember that. Who is that did the thing? The guy with the, you know, what's the name of the song? Yeah. Shazam certainly helps with that.
Yeah. But that about winds us down for this week, folks. We want to thank you again for putting up with the buzz in the background so that I can have the AC blowing.
I heard nothing, so I don't think I heard.
Yeah, but I don't hear your AC in my headphones either.
Well, mine's not on right now, that's why.
But believe me, people listening after this gets edited, they're going to hear the hum.
Okay.
But as always, folks, we appreciate you tuning in. Until next time, y'all take care out there.
And as always, don't forget your pillow, and please try to stay cool in the summer heat.
Hello.
Everyone these days could use a little support, and your friends at the ESO Network are no different. With the ESO Network Patreon, the cool thing is when you help support us, it's you who will benefit. With 4 tiers starting for as little as 25 cents a week, you can listen to some of your favorite network podcasts early, hear exclusive content, maybe get some ESO swag, or even possibly take a shot at the geek seat. All you need to do is sign up at patreon.com/ESO Network.
The Blurred Nerds podcast is proud to be sponsored by Sweatpants and Coffee, the blanket fort of the internet, where comfort rules. Find them on the web at www.sweatpantsandcoffee.com. You've been listening to the Blurred Nerds podcast, a member of the ESO Network. Join in on the nerd fun by following the Blurred Nerds on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can also check out our sister channel, GVTV, on YouTube at Geek Ventures Television. Have comments or show ideas? Want to hear more? Subscribe today, join us on our social media channels, or send us an email to theblurrednerds@gmail.com.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping at the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.